One of the first messages the Lord gave me when he started to have me exercise myself was on healing. And since then, he has opened up some more truth on healing. So I would title this one, Healing Part 2. Why do we need healing? Someone tell me why we need healing.
We're here to worship.
To bring soundness.
To bring soundness, okay.
Because we're hurt.
Because we're hurt.
All right.
Why else?
Sin sick.
Sin sick. What about these old bodies? The reason we need healing is because we have afflictions. We have sickness. And we have diseases. All of those. Do you ever notice that God doesn't provide something unless there's a need for it? Why did he have to send the gift of diverse tongues? Because he had changed the languages back in the Old Testament. So the reason why he sends healing? Because of things like these. There are three reasons why we have these things. And when Brother Paul got finished exhorting the other night, I had to add a fourth one. One reason why we have affliction, sickness, and disease is for the glory of God. There are many people that have things from birth. And as we read through the Bible, we see of many examples where Christ said, "This is for the glory of God."
Yes, that's true.
And this is why this person has this thing. It's nothing that they did. It's so that God can be glorified.
Yeah, amen.
The second reason is for trial. God desires to accomplish something in us. And sometimes the only way we listen is if he sends one of these. To get us to a place where we can actually listen and see what he's trying to do in us. Third reason is because we brought on ourselves. And I'm going to give you an example of that. Me being a person who played sports, when I was younger, I could eat pretty much anything I wanted. And when I turned about 30, I got into a really bad habit of eating ice cream every night. And what it caused in me was high blood pressure. And it became a problem. And I began to ask the Lord, why do I have this problem with high blood pressure? And he gently said, it's because of what you did. You cannot eat ice cream every night. You can't eat all these things that tear up your body. There's a temperance that he teaches us. So that's one reason. We brought it on ourselves. And then Brother Paul was talking about that thorn in the flesh. He's using the disease, sickness, or affliction to keep us humble while he uses us. So that we don't become invincible in our minds. The apostle had one. He gave him a thorn in the flesh. The apostle was greatly used, and he needed that.
Yes.
So that he could stay in the place that God desired him to be.
Amen.
Now, all of these afflictions, sickness and disease, occur in three areas of our life. Number one, spiritual. Number two, mental. Number three, physical. And I believe that God desires to work on them in this order too. He can heal our bodies anytime he wants. These bodies are nothing to him. He created the whole world. He put everything in order. Do you think he can fix these bodies very easily?
Amen.
All he has to do is speak the word and the change happens. But the most important one is the healing that we need spiritually. Because if we do not be healed, if we're not healed spiritually, guess what? We're not going to make heaven. It's not possible for us to make heaven with spiritual disease. And so this is always his number one priority, is to heal us spiritually. Let's turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. Brother Riley was talking about Jesus this morning. This is who we get the healing through. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Did he not heal people spiritually? The woman at the well, the spiritual healing that she received, because Jesus had told her everything that was wrong in her life. Just think if Jesus couldn't do that. Not only would she have been affected, but her whole community. Because she went to her community and told everybody, I found a man that told me all that I did. And this is what Jesus came for. You remember the people who lived in the tombs, who we would call mental cases? In our day and time, they're stuck in institutions. Why? Because they can't be healed. For some reason, they haven't been in touch with somebody that can get in touch with God. And Jesus healed those people that lived in the tomb, cast out those devils, and they went into town in their right mind. And this is what God desires to do in our world today. When you and I live where God wants us to live, he can use the power through us to bring healing to people. And this is how you tell the difference between the church of God and every other church. This is a single thing that cannot be duplicated anywhere in this world, is the power of the Holy Ghost that brings healing. We've talked about the physical. That's the easy part. Matthew 10 and 1. You see the progression here? Jesus healed. Now he's commissioning his disciples. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You know that means the sicknesses that there's no diagnosis or cure for? Leprosy did not have a cure back in Jesus' time. And when his disciples were walking around healing people, there was no cure for that. But it was not a difficult thing for God. So as God begins to use us and we endeavor to do more of God's work, don't be intimidated by the diseases that don't have a cure. Because if God wants to heal it, there's nothing that's going to stop it.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 53 and 5. Jesus didn't just heal. He went through some things so he could know and understand what we feel.
Yeah.
The despair that we feel when we're going through something and the enemy is telling us, you're going to die. There's no way out of it. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yeah.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
Yeah.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So he understands. Anytime the enemy comes to you to tell you that's an impossible situation, you tell him, by his stripes I'm healed. And in God's time, he will heal. But he's going to accomplish what he means to accomplish first.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's turn to James, the 5th chapter. And by the help of the Lord, I'm going to spend majority of the time on this section of verses. James 5, verses 13 through 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Afflicted. Persistent pain or distress. Great suffering. You notice the scripture says, let him pray. This is one of those situations where God's trying to get our attention. And he wants us to spend some time in prayer. Lord, what is your will for this illness in my life? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to get me to get rid of out of my life? And this is what the first step is. It says, let him pray. And as we minister to other people and they call for prayer, we should be asking them, have you prayed? Because it won't do us any good to lay hands and pray for people if they haven't prayed themselves. There's a process. God is trying to do something in that person's life.
That's clear, brother. Praise God.
Sick, affected with disease or ill health. They are to call for the elders of the church. Now, do you know all of us are considered elders of the church if we walk with the Lord for a little while? There have been instances in my own home where there was no time to call on the phone for other people to pray. In obedience to the word of God, we got the olive oil out the cabinet, anointed the one that was sick, and those in our household prayed.
Hallelujah.
And God came through and answered prayer. It has always been my desire that my children know who God is for themselves. And God is teaching them who he is by healing various ones in our home. I remember my wife was having severe pain in her abdomen, and it was so bad that she couldn't move. And all she could say was, can you all pray for me? And so we got the oil and anointed her, and I got the children. I said, let's get on our knees. We need to pray for mother. And within the hour, the Lord heard prayer and relieved that pain. So my children understand that God hears prayer. They have no qualms about coming to the altar for prayer because they know that's where the blessing is. And many times when we come to the altar for prayer, there is healing that will take place, and God will bless more than just the thing that we're coming for. But many people miss their blessing because they never come. There are requirements for us. We have to live clean lives.
Yeah.
There can be no unbelief. You remember Martha when Lazarus was in the tomb?
Yeah.
Fourth day, Jesus said, show me where you laid him. Lord, he stinketh.
Yeah.
That's the human that's in us.
Amen.
We understand the process of death. Uh-huh. If a person is not treated or put in a cold situation, the body begins to decompose.
Yeah.
And her senses was telling her that.
Yeah.
It's gone too far.
Uh-huh.
Lord, you don't want to open that tomb. It's going to stink in there.
Yeah.
But see, Jesus didn't think with his five senses. And this is where the challenge comes.
Yeah.
We see with our eyes, and we see a hopeless case.
Yeah.
We hear with our ears, we hear the wailing and the moaning of despair.
Yeah. Oh.
And these senses sometimes can overwhelm us, and then we don't exercise the power that God has given us.
Yeah. Amen.
I remember when Sister Alice was very, very sick. And it had been a while since I had seen her. And when I looked at her, I had doubt.
Yeah.
But then I see her now. God's brought her a long way.
Yeah.
And then when my mother had a stroke.
Yeah.
We all know what stroke usually does to people.
Yeah.
But when you see her, you can't even tell she had one.
Yeah.
You have to listen real close, and you see just a little slowing of her speech the way it used to be. But that's all that I notice. So what that has helped me understand is there is nothing that God cannot do with these bodies of ours.
Yeah.
He can take us all the way down to the lowest point of our life, where it seems like we're one breath from crossing over. And he can bring us all the way back to full health.
Yeah. Amen.
And the glory of God is shown right there. And people's lives are touched because they see that God has done something.
Yeah.
There can be no oughts with the people praying for someone. How can I touch the throne? Standing here laying hands on someone, and I've got a problem with somebody else standing here. How does God hear that prayer? When he sees that there's situation between, there's friction between me and someone else. And it's nothing but pride that is keeping us from resolving these issues. You remember the disciples after Jesus died? People come tell him he's risen. It said they believed it as idle tales.
Yeah.
Because they were so hurt and so wounded and had basically given up hope. Well, it was in our today terms, it was fun while it lasted, so to speak. And that's the kind of things that creep in and interfere God from working. Because it says the prayer of faith. One prayer of faith is all it takes. We've obeyed the scriptures. We've anointed them with oil. Our lives are clear. And if we know what the will of God is for that person, the healing should come. And this is what shows people that you're different. There are plenty of other churches where good sermons are preached. The building's full. They even provide counseling, child care, all of these things, but do they provide the Holy Ghost power to make a real change in a life that needs healing? The Lord will restore physically and spiritually. And his number one priority is spiritually. It said, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's another benefit of being prayed for.
Amen.
There are young Christians that don't really understand fully all about the Bible in our congregation. And many times they have a lot of problems. But one thing they will do is they will come for healing of the body. And we understand that God's looking in their heart.
Yeah.
And he sees what's really troubling them. They may not always tell us, but he sees what's really troubling them. And he said, it will save them. It will forgive them of their sins. Does it mean they get everything they need? No. There's probably more work that God wants to do in them. But if it will cause them to want to come back to service again, hear another message, be around the saints more. Remember, this is a different way of life for them. This is different from what they're used to. Different people. They're not familiar with all of us. But if we'll be patient with them to help bring them along, God can get them to the place that he wants.
Yeah.
Says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And I believe that the apostle was talking about church issues. There's some healing spiritually that needs to take place in the church. And there's some mental healing that needs to take place in the church. So that God can use us in the way that he desires to use us. To change people's lives. To bring the healing that this world so badly needs. They've got a counselor for everything nowadays. And they've got a drug for everything nowadays too. They'll keep you doped up and keep you alive as long as they can. But God has something a lot more perfect.
Hallelujah.
He's got healing that can take place where you're not having to take this every day or every week or go for your sessions. He's the greatest counselor, the greatest deliverer that we all ever know. And he can bring the healing that we need. Is there places in your mental capacity where the enemy has scarred you? Where someone else has scarred you?
Yes.
And you need healing?
Yes, amen.
The Holy Ghost can give it.
Yeah.
He can give you everything you need for that one little place. That one little place might be hindering you from being all that God wants you to be. From moving on to the next place that God wants to take you. And that healing is available. It doesn't cost anything. Just a little humility. Think about Eli. He says here in the 17th and 18th verse, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What Elijah did was contradict natural order. And he was human just like you and I. Wasn't he was the one that was always going and hiding after a great victory? And the devil issue a threat through somebody, and he runs and hides. He didn't have the benefit of the Holy Ghost. But he was just like you and I. He had feelings.
Yes.
He had senses. He had issues with people. But it did not hinder the faith he had when he prayed. There's no doubt what God can do. There's no doubt about the Holy Ghost power. There's no doubt about Jesus Christ. The only doubt comes into you and I. And if we will just turn loose of our own senses, our own shortcomings, our own inadequacies, and allow God to use us, he will heal just like he did in the old Bible times when the church was first established. Talked a little bit about intensity on Sunday night. the intensity of the Holy Ghost. God wants to intensify the Holy Ghost in our lives.
Amen.
Some of us, He wants to bring to that place where when we're walking out, our shadow's healing people. But first and foremost, this is what's going to distinguish us from the rest of the world.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
So I desire your prayers as I endeavor to be all that the Lord would have me be. I trust that these thoughts have been encouragement to you.